Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
A beloved name leaving the WWE. They're leaving just as Patrick O'Dowd and I are returning. We are back. What's old again is new again. It's Greg DeMarco. It's Patrick O'Dowd. It's the Babyface Heel Podcast. I realized as the song was playing, Patrick O'Dowd can't hear it as he was getting ready to talk. And sure. I gave him the finger, not the bad finger, the good finger, the finger wave. Welcome in. We've renamed. It's been a while. We had to rename the show again. It's just what we do. We had three weeks off.
We really didn't need to.
No, we did. We did. In my opinion. And as the old opening told you, it's my show. I can't play the old opening because I want the shows to exist online forever. So, and it has music in it. But maybe I can redo it at some point. Who knows? But we are here. The date is Tuesday, the third day of June, 2025. We are both back from many travels and so much more. We'll get into that. My name is Greg DeMarco. His name is Patrick O'Dowd. We're back. He's the babyface. I'm the heel. It is no referee. It's this time. As that's how long it's been since we did this gimmick. It's the Babyface Heel Podcast right here on the ChairShot Radio Network.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I need a hand signal or something to tell you that I'm playing a soundbite. Otherwise, I think you're just like, what's going on? What's going on, man? What are you doing?
Kind of. Just waiting. I figure if I needed to talk, you'll just be like, now this is the part where you talk.
I have done that before, so that makes sense. Yep. So we're going to bring back some fun stuff. We're going to have a great time this week on the program. But the key to everything that we're talking about right now is the shocking revelation that was made on Sunday. I'm pretty sure it was Sunday when you were texting me about it. Maybe it was Saturday. I don't know. But the whole wrestling world now knows that one of the most beloved wrestlers, maybe in the history of wrestling, definitely in the recent history of wrestling, one of the most beloved performers has been informed that WWE will not be renewing his contract. Of course, if you've been living, I guess there's two people I could be talking about right now, but the one that the whole world is talking about is, of course, Ron Killings, R-Truth, finishing his time, his 17-year run with WWE. And, suffice to say, people are losing their shit over R-Truth being gone from WWE. So, you texted me, look, regardless of what we think about it, and we're going to get into it, that's what we're going to do, just like every other podcast in the world this week in the world of pro wrestling. But we're both shocked. Regardless of what we think, we're both shocked by it, and it's definitely not on our bingo card. If we had to list 100 news bites we would have heard on Sunday, it would not have made that list either. So it's just, you know, it's not going to make the list at all. We'll make a list later, don't you worry. But here we are. R-Truth finishing his time up in WWE. It seems like we're not even going to see him again. And his last match was, of course, against John Cena at Saturday Night's Main Event. Lasted less than 5 minutes. John Cena went over. R-Truth got his match. Not even the first time he's wrestled John Cena, but he did it, and now he's gone. And now we're going to talk about it. So, Patrick O'Dowd, your thoughts on what you believe is pertinent about apparently everybody's favorite wrestler, judging by the reactions, R-Truth.
Well, okay. And I'm sorry to do this to you.
No, you're not.
I'm not, but it is very much the other thing that is prevalent in sort of the world of Patrick the last 2 weeks. It reminds this reaction to R-Truth's contract not being renewed, which, by the way, folks, 17 years on a return run is quite a return for Mr. K-Quick. I'm just saying. But this reminded me so much of Disney adults who are obsessed with the parks and don't want anything that has ever existed to go away, and acting as if a ride going away was their favorite ride in the whole world, when everyone knows companies made the decision to get rid of an attraction, or in this case, not re-sign a talent, because that thing has run its course, and or they just, they don't need it. And, suddenly, I liked your thing about suddenly everybody's favorite wrestler was apparently let go. Because, yes, like, people are acting like, one, they're acting like this is some grave injustice to R-Truth, which is not. Like, 17 years, dude got paid, he's fine, he's going to be fine, life will move on. When he shows up in TNA this weekend or whatever, everybody will be okay. But it was a big deal in the sense that I was surprised they did it, because he's just been a long-standing member of the roster. But at the other end of it, I was like, yeah, I can see it. Like, I'm surprised. Frankly, I'm surprised he was back for 17 years. 17 years.
Yeah, I know.
That's amazing for a guy who was brought back to the company.
And injured multiple times and recently injured. Yep. It's just, there's so many things here.
Well,
with
into
this.
His 50s at this point.
53 years old. Is what he is. Same age as the Navajo Warrior, who is retiring this year. He'll be 53 when he retires in November. And I see what he goes through physically, right? And I'm sure R-Truth, even though he doesn't have to wrestle all that much, because of the TV schedule and not having house shows and everything. And I'm sure that has something to do with it as well. Like, they don't need as much talent because of they don't have the house shows. And except for when they go international. And so R-Truth is a novelty act. He's an attraction, as is Omos, who's still with the company. Like, there's plenty of people who are still with the company that people will point to and be like, but we had to get rid of R-Truth. There was a rumor, Jonathan Coachman, we all know he knows nothing, said that he heard that they offered him a deal and it was lowballed, so he turned it down. But that was really contradicted by R-Truth himself saying WWE is not renewing his deal. So whatever.
Right.
Coach is going to coach these days. He hates the company, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Coach is going to coach. Meltzer's going to Meltzer. Like, there was the release happens, and then all of a sudden, all these guys get asked or unsolicitedly give their speculation as to what they think may
Most
or may
of them
not
get
have
asked.
Happened or how it happened. What's that?
Most of them get asked. That's part of the problem with Meltzer, is that people mad at him for saying things, but usually he was asked.
Right. But at the end of the day, like, was R-Truth really that important to y'all?
Here's my thing. I mean, yeah, because that's a great question, right? We would oftentimes bring up, not oftentimes, but frequently or semi-frequently or seldom, whatever. We would bring up that we missed a Randy Orton when he was out for over a year with injury.
Sure.
We'd bring up Seth Rollins when he was out with injury. Ain't nobody say a fucking word about R-Truth when he was gone with injury. Mm-hmm. They didn't. And so, I'm getting like shredded by some people online in an Instagram comment thing, because I pointed that out. I was like, no one was complaining that R-Truth's not there when he's not there. No one's like, right. Where's R-Truth? And they're like, that's because he was hurt. That's because he would... No, it's because you only care about him when he's there. Like, you like him. And I even put this in a comment. I have no idea. I haven't looked to see if anybody's responding to it. R-Truth is a nice to have. R-Truth is not a must have.
Yes. He is tally up the amount of screen time this guy gets normally. And what it actually brings to the overall product or story that you're watching. He is an entertaining addition.
Right.
He is not a necessary addition.
It is a bit ruthless the way they do things, and I get that. And it's funny because everyone's like, Triple H is Triple H is fucking everything up. Triple H, blah, blah. Vince McMahon would never do this, first of all. Vince McMahon released R-Truth. He was the first guy to release R-Truth. Vince McMahon released Carlito. Okay, so Triple H releasing R-Truth and Carlito, and that's the going word, and who knows if that's true or not. It might be. I don't know how those decisions are made. They released a bunch of other people, young and old, and both the guys they released are old. Oh, by wrestling standard. They're older, right? Carlito and R-Truth.
Is it weird to me that when I see the phrase not renewing my contract... Oh, and I mean, nobody's sad about Sarah Logan, by the way.
No.
But no, like, nobody cared.
I forgot about her, to be honest with you.
Right. But anyway.
And she's retiring. She's come out and said she's retiring.
Right. When we see the wrestler say or the talent say they're not renewing my contract, I view that very, very differently than I was released today. Because they are different things, my opinion. And, you know, whether it's that they're doing a solid to R-Truth because of his time with the company, and maybe it's the same with Carlito, though it doesn't make as much sense because Carlito has only been back for, what, like 2 years?
Yeah.
Maybe?
I think it was 2 years, yeah.
Like, they let the contract play out. They didn't cut him. They let the contract play out, and it's ending. And they're just not doing another contract because whatever their plan is moving forward isn't significant enough to need those wrestlers. Even someone like Carlito, who's involved in the Judgment Day, on the side, like he's not like a primary role in the Judgment Day. Like, I don't know. I feel like we are performatively mourning the departure of R-Truth and trying to turn it into this big nefarious injustice when the fact of the matter is that a man worked for a company for 17 years. The company realized that they really didn't have much more with him that they wanted to do, so they chose not to pursue another contract. It happens all the time.
And who's to say they're not going to give him a Legends deal, right? Like, they very well might. I mean, Rob Van Dam is under a Legends deal and has wrestled for AEW while under a Legends deal. So it's not beyond. And who knows? I mean, his current deal is not even up yet. Maybe they will offer him. Somebody I saw posted on Facebook, I believe, they're like, you don't release R-Truth, you give him a Legends deal. I'm like, well, first of all, they're not releasing him. His contract's expiring. Second of all, maybe they will give him a Legends deal. We don't know.
Right.
Well, maybe he's going to be in high demand. Like, he can cash in for the rest of the year very easily. Signings, bookings, appearances, and do very little. He does very little as it is in terms of taking bumps, whatever. Right. I mean, it was WrestleMania 40 when he and The Miz won tag titles together. Like, that was a huge moment. And I know The Miz removed all references from WWE to social media because obviously he loves R-Truth and wanted to work that program and everything. And The Miz... who knows? Like, he's up there and he could be one to go too. Like, if The Miz got released, it wouldn't be the end of the world either. Like, he's a great wrestler. He's a great company guy, as is R-Truth. R-Truth is all those things too. Here's my, you've played sports. I played sports. We all know there's always someone on every single team that you would call a glue guy. Right. Keeps the team together, keeps things. And by all accounts that we've seen, not from insider info, but from the talent themselves, that was R-Truth. Like, he was a glue guy and he was hilarious. And I've seen videos, behind the scenes videos, where he's cracking people up, making them laugh, like R-Truth. And that's why the talent's reacting the way they are. They love R-Truth. Like, they love the whole Judgment Day has reacted that way. Rhea Ripley has, like, Judgment Day, old and new. They've all reacted in the way they've reacted. So to me, from a morale perspective, it may not be a great decision on Triple H's part to let R-Truth go. And I'm willing to acknowledge that because it's a very good possibility that he made a bad decision in terms of morale and in terms of whatever. And I know a lot of talent's now questioning their deals when they come up. And that's a natural response. Look, when people get laid off at a job that you're at, there's always that, there's a survivor's guilt, there's an element of fear, there's a lot of things you go through. Working in higher education for as long as I have, I've been through layoffs. I've been through five of them. I've been through more than that. I've been laid off five times. I've been through more than five layoffs, probably double that easily. And there's a lot of emotions and things that go along with it. So the wrestlers feeling the way they do, they probably always feel this way whenever releases happen. This has been like the third round of releases this year, and we're just now getting to the beginning of June, which I love. People say June 1st, the year is half over. Like, we got to do some math lessons for people because 5 months have gone by, not six. So wait till June ends before the year is half over. But there's no month zero. So a little math lesson today on the Babyface Heel podcast. Right. You're welcome. But R-Truth, that to me is if there's any level of blame, any level of poor decision making, it's the fact that R-Truth is a glue guy.
Right.
But we can, and maybe the reaction will spawn some change, right? Drake Maverick years ago got released during COVID, ended up coming back because of the reaction to him online. Who knows? Triple H, not one to acquiesce to the online fan base.
No.
He did sign Cedric Alexander because the crowd chanted, please sign Cedric. So, and that turned into like an 8-year career, 10-year career, whatever Cedric had. I think it was 8 or 9 years. But that, so you just never know. And the talent reacting the way that maybe something does change. Maybe something does happen and R-Truth comes back. Couple things that I want to note on that I would... One that I would like to see and one that I would love to see. And they're very different. One that I would like to see. If we know, and it's gone public, that R-Truth's contract is not being renewed and Carlito's contract is not. And Carlito has said in 2 weeks, like he's given us a time frame. He said in two weeks. By the way, side note, Carlito's tweet was absolutely amazing. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but said to everybody saying that I should give money back, I had my lawyers review the tape and yes, I probably should have to give money back. Like these, that was funny. Like I appreciate Carlito being self-aware and just not, you know, giving it back to the internet in really the best way possible. So good on Carlito for that. The fact that Carlito's told us he has 2 weeks left and the fact that R-Truth has told us that his contract's not being renewed, I would love to see, just go ahead and give them a send-off, especially R-Truth. Like, now, you could argue, if you go back and watch Saturday Night's Main Event, that was R-Truth's send-off, he just didn't know it. They even made a Ron Cena retirement tour shirt for him that they were selling that was like number one on WWE Shop, and they've pulled it after he, which is also kind of strange. Why pull that shirt? Make the money off of it. You know, he'll make some of it, but still, like, pulling that shirt's weird. Like, it's just sell it. But give him the proper send-off. Let him say goodbye. Let him, you know, even Edge kind of got that when his deal was coming up and he had the match with Sheamus. Like, there was that element to it. And give, you know, give, maybe they still will. I mean, maybe there's something in the works. Who knows? But, and they didn't expect the backlash that they got, which I think is silly if you didn't expect that backlash. But, go ahead and give the dude a send off. Like he deserves it. And not only that, but the talent I think would love it. The fans would love it. I mean, it's sometimes it's less about a talent deserving it because lots of talent deserve that and have never gotten it. But giving R-Truth that send off to me, hell, you could have a random, you know, one of those Raws where you don't announce a main event, you go to commercial, you come back for the last segment, and it's fucking R-Truth versus Carlito. And you let them go. There's interference. Just clusterfuck it up. R-Truth goes over. They have their moment. Everybody gives them whatever. And you know, maybe Cena shows up and attacks somebody. Who knows? But I think those are two wrestlers that could be given a proper send-off. And given the fact that they're not being released, but instead their contracts aren't being renewed, I think that opportunity is there anyway.
Yeah, sure. But then again, how often... I don't know. How often does that ever happen? Like, true.
Oh, yeah. So, rare. Like I said, Edge, I can think of. There have been a few others. Dean Ambrose got one years ago.
We'll gladly welcome R-Truth back to his Hall of Fame induction ceremony, which will have what cannot be, what I can only imagine will be the greatest and best acceptance speech of all time.
Paul Heyman's going to be a tough one to overcome. That was really fucking good. But, and I don't watch a lot of them.
Here's why. Because it's going to be bonkers.
Like, of course it is.
It's going to talk about spiders. It's going to, he's going to get people wrong. He's going to say how excited he is to be at the cauliflower alley or some weird shit like that. You just don't know what the speech is going to be, but it's going to be hilarious.
Now, if I'm TNA, he's showing up in Arizona this weekend. TNA has teased two former champions, multi-time champions. They haven't said they're TNA champions. They're multi-time champions coming to against all odds this Friday night, which is not even a pay-per-view. It's on TNA Plus or whatever they call it. There's rumors that the former Cora Jade, Alina Block's going to go. I know she's trying to get on with AEW. She herself has said that in an interview with Ariel Helwani this week. So she may not be the one. I think TNA is a great spot for R-Truth. I really do. However, if I'm Tony Khan, I am running to the phone to throw a bunch of money at R-Truth. Now, selfishly, I just want R-Truth to receive a bunch of money. That's that. R-Truth could be the face of Tony Khan's anti-WWE movement without having to say a single bad thing about WWE. All you need is to have R-Truth showing up backstage at AEW, seeing Edge and being like, Edge, welcome back. Where have you been? And Edge being like, welcome back. I'm Cope. Like, this is AEW. It's like, have him run into Ricochet and be like, dog, I can't believe they released you. I'm so glad that, you know, they brought you. Just call Tony Nick all the time. Just call both Young Bucks Shane every time you see him. Like, there's so many things that R-Truth could do in AEW without saying a single bad word towards WWE. But he would literally be the straight man, but in a comedic sense. Like, he'd literally be doing comedy, but he'd be the straight man for all of their anti-WWE stuff. And
I've seen that suggested around the interweb. It's a good suggestion. Various locations, so.
Because I think he would be perfect for it. So
it'd be fun. It'd be funny. It would, you know, definitely a fourth wall break and a half nod, wink, wink, nod to the camera. Totally something that you could easily get behind.
Yeah, and I think I think all fans would love it. Like, that could actually unite wrestling fans. Because I think WWE fans would get a kick out of it. I think AEW fans would get a kick out of it. I think tons of people would get a kick out of that shit. You know, and have him do the same shtick. Come out during a match and pull out the ladder and try to win Money in the Bank. Like, you know, do the AA. You look for John's, like, just do it all. Because what's it going to hurt? They talk about WWE a ton anyway. Have him show up on commentary and you know, talk to Taz and about how much he's missed him. And he's glad he's back. Like, there's so many things that they could do that I think would just be hilarious. R-Truth would make a ton of money, and Tony Khan would get what he wants, which is bashing WWE, but he would do it in a way that R-Truth could just be R-Truth and have a lot of fun. So if I'm Tony Khan, I'm running to that. It takes a bit of self-awareness on Tony Khan's part to do it, as well as some other people behind the scenes that may not have that level of self-awareness and openness to comedy in that way, or being comedic in that way. But me personally, I'm all for it, and I would love to see it. So
I think it'd be a lot of fun.
I think TNA is a great place for him to go. I know he showed up in NXT once or twice. That was obviously still a WWE brand. Who knows? I mean, there's a ton, and maybe he'll just make appearances around the country. And if so, he'll get so much love at conventions, at signings, at indie appearances. And of course, I think indie appearance, and I'm like, but you know, it's probably gonna be way too expensive for us.
He'll
get
a podcast.
Oh. Right. Could you imagine a podcast with him? Like, it would be hilarious. He'll probably be a new person on Busted Open here in a couple of months. Like, who knows? Like, they're going to do the whole gamut of things. But again, the dude's 53. Do I think they should have kept him? Yes. Am I mad and in shambles? No, at all. Like I get it. And not to belittle Carlito's release. Carlito is a name that everybody knows in this business. His gimmick is well known. It's beloved. He was, again, his first match ever. Like, he beat John Cena for the United States Championship. I mean, Carlito was positioned for bigger things than he ever even did. And he himself has said a lot of it's his fault. And so I appreciate, and we never expected this last run out of Carlito anyway. So it only happened because of, he showed up at Backlash in 2023. So
Carlito didn't expect this run.
No, not at all. He turned a Backlash appearance in Puerto Rico into a fucking contract with the company and made himself probably another $1 million in the process over 2 years.
He kind of made the most of it. Like, he just,
yeah.
And now that time is up
And he's already won a title in his dad's promotion in Puerto Rico, which is how his career started. Who
he took his release in stride. He moved on. He made a joke about it.
I still would have used them both on TV. You could even have the Judgment Day turn on him and his send off on Raw being the shit kicked out of him by the Judgment Day. Right. He'd do it. He'd do it in a heartbeat.
He knows what's best for business.
Of course he does. And he'd probably have a blast doing it and would appreciate the fact that he got to put his crew over one last time. You know, it's
right.
They would do it, but it's not our show to book, and maybe it'll happen. You know, maybe before the next couple weeks are up, we'll get something like that. Maybe we won't. I don't know. I will say this. Those, you know, we want our truth chance that everybody's talking about online. Not that big, people. Come on now. Like watching Raw as I have, we did not get the entire crowd break out into a "We want our truth" chant.
I did not watch Raw this week, so.
You could hear like 10 people try to get one going during the opening promo. Does not catch on. CM Punk kind of even smiled at it and acknowledged it. The Sami Zayn chant was much bigger when he came out. They tried to get it going during one of the women's matches as well. Didn't really catch on. Not like a true chant would. That's
right.
Not even 50% of a true chant. More like 15% of a true chant, but people are going to think what they want to think and hear what they want to hear, and that's all fine and well. But I will miss him. I look forward to seeing what he does next. He hasn't said he's done, so I don't think he's done. I think we'll see more of our truth. My hope is TNA. My pipe dream is the exact angle that I laid out in AEW. TNA is far more likely to happen than the AEW thing that I laid out. But whatever it is, I believe whenever his actual deal is up and he starts traveling around doing things, I think he's going to have the time of his life and just get a lot of love, a lot of appreciation from everybody. And whether it's next year, the year after, dude's going to the Hall of Fame and it's going to be amazing. And maybe that's what they're going to do. Maybe he'll get to travel around, do the indie thing for a while and make a bunch of money and do a lot of appearances, then go in the Hall of Fame and sign his Legends deal. And who knows? Maybe. He's made tons, and plus he's producing music and everything right now. Like, he's got other things, so he's going to be just fine, and he'll be good. And again, 3 weeks from now, this is not going to be a topic.
No, we will move on.
We'll get a reminder, because 2 weeks from now, we'll be getting reports that Carlito's deal is officially over. That'll bring back up talk about Carlito and R-Truth, and then it'll die. We once had years ago, my wife and I, before we had kids, we had one of those beta fish, right? And the blow up the face really big and everything. And his name was Bubbles, because we were really original. And Bubbles was you could, like, everything we did, Bubbles was going to die. He's a fish. You're going to flush him down the toilet. And we were like, oh, almost time for Bubbles to go. And then the next day, Bubbles was like vibrant as ever, bubbling around, reacting to whatever. And then the next day, he was belly up at the top of the water. So that's kind of like what's going to happen with the R-Truth and Carlito stuff. It's going to come back in a couple weeks when the deals are up, and then it's going to be done forever. So that's my comparison right there. So, all right, we are going to hit a commercial real quick, and we're going to come back and have some more fun here on the podcast.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Since we're changing things, since we're changing the podcast back, we're doing whatever, let's just go full-blown transparency. I seriously doubt that promo code works. And probably hasn't worked for a really long time. We got to make something new and put it in place of that at some point, General, because that shit's old. Patrick Dow, we used to do something on this show, on the Babyface Heel podcast, where we would bring up a name and we would say whether or not they were better as a babyface or a heel. So why don't we do that again And we're going to go with the obvious choice that has an obvious answer. But I don't care. Was he better as a babyface or a heel? The subject matter is, of course, R-Truth, Ron the Truth Killings. Better as a babyface, better as a heel.
Oh, babyface.
Absolutely. Now, he and The Miz, back in like 2011, 2012, had a great run as heels when they were doing their Mike and Ronnie shtick, and they were they had a run at Survivor Series against The Rock and John Cena. Like that was a thing. They had a great run, but even when he was in the Judgment Day, even though he wasn't really in Judgment Day, fantastic work, but he was a babyface. Like right. He's been very, very so heel. And I knew, and it's more of just like a hat tip to R-Truth. Flip it around though, since he's also in the news and everybody's talking about him. What about Carlito?
I was always partial to heel Carlito. I think that personality works better in the heel persona.
Has he spit the apple on anybody during this last run?
Not since he made his triumphant return in Puerto Rico.
Yeah. I didn't think
so. He definitely did the apple of Backlash.
Yes. Okay. And since then, I think he spit it out like in conversation, like a spit take, but I don't think he spit it on anybody. No. People forget too. He returned as a babyface in the LWO. And then when that fell apart, randomly showed up on Raw and started being part of the Judgment Day. And he's been like that for almost a year. So maybe even more. So good for him. Good for Carl.
What a nice little run.
Again, it's a bonus for him. Like, it's literally a bonus career for Carlito. And still in great shape. Like, let's be honest. Like, dude is still in great shape. Once had to wrestle on Raw in sweatpants. Never even got reported, but I'm positive his luggage got lost because he does have gear. So, but never really got reported. So, all right. Let me, I gotta find the sound bite.
You just made the list.
We are going to make the list, Patrick O'Dowd. And what better way to bring back You Just Made the List? Especially with all this talk about R-Truth, we are going to make the list of comedy wrestlers. Now, the list, because we haven't done one in a while, of course, is it's on a list. It's not a top six list. It's just fun content for the podcast. We take turns adding names to the list because it's my list. Patrick will go first. I'll go second, so on and so forth. We will build a list of six names. Then we will come back and flip it around. Patrick will go first. I will go second. I'll go first. Patrick will go second and so forth. When we put that list in order, 1 through 6, that is the order for that list. It doesn't mean this is the top six comedy wrestlers in history. It doesn't mean this is whatever. This is just our list of comedy wrestlers. So Patrick will go first. I'll go second. So Patrick O'Dowd, who are you going to add to the list? And of course, we'll talk about each of them. That's what we do. Who are you going to add to the list of comedy wrestlers?
I'm waffling back and forth as to how far out I want to take this.
Okay.
But I'm going to start with an obvious one. Still an active wrestler today. He is the chief enforcement officer in TNA. But we first saw him make his debut in a stunning upset as a man in the crowd. Who did he pin?
Was it Umaga?
For the Intercontinental title?
Who did he beat for the Intercontinental? I don't even remember. I'll look it up.
Santino Marella.
Yes, Santino Marella. Who did he beat? Now I want to know this. Now we're going to do this. There's people that are yelling at their podcasting device right now. Santino Marella. I see title reign. He beat, let's see here.
Umaga.
It was Umaga, wasn't it?
Because Bobby Lashley helped him win. Yep. He was presented as a fan.
In Milan, Italy is where the match took place. Yep.
Yep.
I knew he would be on the list. I mean, how can you not? The Cobra, like, there's so much that has to be on the list. So, number one.
Like, in his role at TNA, like, it's an authority figure, but it's comedic.
He does a great job. He does a fantastic job, and there's no one who should be able to do otherwise. So,
real quick as we talk about these, can we talk about a quick moment? Like, what is one of your favorite, all-time favorite Santino Marella moments?
Honestly, there's one, I think it was in a Royal Rumble. I'm not 100% certain. It's not the one where he hit and almost won the Royal Rumble and all that stuff. It's when he did the Cobra on himself because he was scared of somebody. I don't remember who it was, but he was like, did it to himself, and that was
it. It's funny because my favorite Santino Marella moment is also a Royal Rumble. It was when he was early in his heel run, and he was the Warlord elimination.
Right.
And as he's standing outside the ring, he's like, whoa, I wasn't ready.
I wasn't ready.
And I find that hilarious every time.
I agree. So I'm going to go, I'm changing my list a little bit right now, just because we're going to make history, Patrick O'Dowd. Why not make some history right now with the list? For the first time ever, we are going to have a father-daughter combination on the list, because one of the more underrated comedy gems in wrestling right now is the daughter of Santino Marella. She is the liaison between NXT and TNA. When she's Miss NXT, and when she shows up in NXT, she's always gold with comedy. They're using her more in TNA right now, and I think they're fine with that. So I am going to put number two on the list, his daughter, Ariana Grace.
Not as familiar with Ariana Grace.
She is fantastic. She's I don't know if she settled into this role. I've rarely seen her actually wrestle a competitive match, so I don't know how good she truly is or isn't. But much like Ava, The Rock's daughter, who has of course been the GM of NXT for a long time now, she seems to have found what works for her, and it does. If she were to get released from WWE, I think she would just go straight over to TNA, because it would make perfect sense. So yeah, that's what I'm going with. We'll put his daughter just so we can have the first. She's probably going to come in number six, and that's fine. Just so we can have the first ever father-daughter. Somebody's got to be number six. Father-daughter combo on the list. We'll say Ariana Grace. And she is good.
All right. Cool. Okay.
Okay.
You can veto this. You can say no. If you want to say no,
I probably won't.
But
have we ever really vetoed much? No.
No. Because I had quite a list actually as I got to going on this. But this one, celebrity, more known as a celebrity than a wrestler, but had a significant run of wrestling in the '70s. Worked a territory where he was a dominant intergender champion before causing quite a stir in front of David Letterman with one Mr. Jerry Lawler. And that's Andy Kaufman.
I think it counts. I mean, it's comedy that turned into it worked back then. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't be as believable now because everybody knows what's going on, but definitely worked back then and was definitely something that I think,
and the way
I think played off well,
folks, kids, for those of you who are interested in kind of some historical context, don't just take our word for it that like Andy Kaufman came in. It's not just what it was like how he wrestled these women. It's it's what he like pulling them out of the crowd, you know, talking about how women were great in the kitchen. Like he was doing a heel wrestler shtick. But then he was so goofy with the way that he would wrestle these women. It was hilarious.
He was a comedian. Yeah, he was.
Right.
He was Jim Carrey before there was Jim Carrey. Like, that's what he was doing. That's why Jim Carrey played him in a movie. Like, it's yeah. No, I can't veto that at all. I wouldn't veto anyway. But I definitely think that he belongs on the list and definitely should be there. Struggling because I'll explain why I'm struggling later, but I am struggling for a lot of reasons, but I am, I'll save that for a little bit, but, I'm going to go with a tag team and we can put tag teams on our list and we can do that. These guys, before they became one hell of a comedy duo, were two of the most ruthless, bloodletting wrestlers in the entire world. They probably spilled more blood than we would ever know what to do with. But then they showed up in WWF and started saying, whoa, and yeah, and licking people and finishing matches with the battering ram, which should not beat anybody, and the Bushwhackers growing up, like just when you hear their music and you see them marching out, you knew it was going to be a good time. So Luke and Butch, you are on the list. The Bushwhackers are my next duo for this list.
Absolutely. Such a crazy thing. And the WWE did that so often with talents that came from, like you described. But when they were the Sheepherders, like they were scary.
Yes.
Like they were scary. And then they show up as the Bushwhackers, and they're just the lovable pair, licking people's heads, encouraging nerdy guys to stand up for themselves, like all kinds of stuff.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. And it worked. And it worked, and they belong on the list. So now I turn it over to you.
And my last pick, too. This is tough. I'm the old school guy.
You are the old school guy.
And I don't know if he knew he was a comedy act, but his act was a comedy act. He was the longest reigning intercontinental champion of all time. And he did it all while being a goofy Elvis impersonator. I am, of course, speaking of the Honky Tonk Man.
Did not expect him to show up on this list, but I get it.
Get someone out here to wrestle me. I don't care who it is.
It's actually a really good Honky Tonk Man.
Thank you.
Of course, my favorite Honky Tonk Man moment has nothing to do with any of that. It's when I was lucky enough to produce the show that started it all, to produce the IZW reunion show, and had Honky Tonk Man come up to me and be like, "I heard you're my producer." And I was like, I'm producing the Honky Tonk Man, and like literally had to produce this segment, and then this my current life was born. So great to work with. Dude left like during intermission, didn't even get a chance to say thank you or anything like that. Another funny Honky Tonk Man story, but I have to tell you off air after we're done recording. So, which was my reminder to make sure we're still recording.
So. Rhythm and blues.
But like you bring up a great point though. I don't know if he knew he was a comedy act. I really don't.
Right. Absolutely.
So there's an honorable mention that I wanted to put on the list.
Eric Bischoff for more money if you don't know who he
was. Oh God, I know, right? Be who you can afford to be, and he wasn't doing that. There's an honorable mention that I will bring up later that I purposely didn't put on the list because I wanted to see if you would remember to put this person on the list. And the honorable mention would have clued you into that. So I'm not doing that. But there is a comedy wrestler. There's a great story we've talked about before that I am shocked and somewhat appalled that Patrick O'Dowd doesn't have on his list. And this wrestler is nothing if he is not three things. He is hot. He is spicy. And he tastes great. It is none other than Curry Man. I am putting Curry Man on the list. That is, of course, the fallen angel Christopher Daniels under a mask. And which means we have to tell the story, even if we've told it before, because it's been a while. But October 2005, Patrick O'Dowd and I going to Ring of Honor events. We went to an event that was eventually named This Means War. This event was not named yet when it took place. Ring of Honor would sometimes name the shows ahead of time, but a lot would name them after the fact. Roderick Strong won Survival of the Fittest, which we were at. I don't know. Where is Chris Tucker? If I see one more super kick. Lots of great moments came from Survival of the Fittest.
Speaking of where it all began.
Yes. That was your first one, wasn't it? It was Survival of the Fittest.
It was.
Because the other one was on your wedding day. So you couldn't go to that. But so Roderick Strong wins at Survival of the Fittest and gets his shot at Daniel Bryan Dennis in the Ring of Honor World Champion at this October event in, was it Enfield, Connecticut? Woodbridge?
Might have been Woodbridge.
Because it was the only time we went to that. I went to that venue twice. I think you only went once because that was the only one. This was also the only time we sat like near the aisle, which we never really,
it was a little.
You may have.
Yeah, it was a little off kilter, but yeah.
And I think our friend Bill went to that one too. if I remember correctly.
Yes, he did.
So semi-main event, Christopher Daniels versus Jay Lethal. The honorable mention that I didn't say, by the way, is Black Machismo, I'll bring up later. And Alice in Danger comes out, and this is, again, close to Halloween, comes out in the nun outfit that she would wear from time to time. She was managing Christopher Daniels. The Prophecy was kind of not really a thing anymore, sort of, but not in its heyday. Comes out and informs everybody that due to travel, Christopher Daniels could not be here.
It's the birth of his son, is what she said.
Yes, the birth of his, that what it was? And poor Patrick O'Dowd was nonplussed.
He was deflated.
And then she's like, we have a suitable replacement. And at this point, it clicked in my head who the suitable replacement was. Because she was like, in the spirit of Halloween, we have a suitable replacement. And Patrick didn't know. Patrick's still deflated because no one was going to top the fallen angel Christopher Daniels at this point. No one. We just saw him at Survival of the Fittest a month prior, but still, no one was going to top. And then Curry Man comes out, and I'm having to explain to Patrick O'Dowd, this is Christopher Daniels under a mask. And all I remember was this move, that move, and Jay Lethal going to do a little dancing, as Dave Prazak said on commentary. The commentary for this match was brilliant. They did the kid and play. They did all kinds of stuff. And then they actually wrestled. And of course, Curry Man lost, because why the hell would Curry Man need to win anything? He used it in TNA. I think it's made an appearance in AEW. He's wrestled against Curry Man, at times, but Curry Man is a legendary character. And of course, on the DVD release, Christopher Daniels shows up at the very end backstage and they're like, no, it's over. The show's over. Curry Man wrestled in your place. And he's like, how does he always know? It was great. There's this second favorite line ever from any ROH release. The first one, of course, being another great comedic wrestler that could have been on the list. Prince Nana exclaiming, what do you know about shrimp cocktail?
Shrimp cocktail. There were so many ROH. Like, you could argue El Generico was a comedic wrestler.
El Generico. I almost put Sami Zayn on my list. Because he is a fantastic. Look at the stuff he did with Johnny Knoxville.
It's not very oozy.
He was that glue guy in the Bloodline for the longest time. And can still bust that shit out.
Right, Colt Cabana, when he was Boom Boom. I had Aaron Stevens / Damian Sandow.
Yes,
as one, Kurt Angle.
Yes.
And actually, the guy who first made me laugh truly hard at a wrestling program, I'll never forget the Nitro when Chris Jericho started reading off his list of holds and sort of took his character into that comedic turn.
Yeah.
Dino Machino.
Yep. There's a guy, a guy who wrestled Colt Cabana in Ring of Honor at a show that we went to. Japanese wrestler, wrestled under a mask, was a comedy wrestler. And I cannot remember his name. And I'm trying to look it up and find it.
Kikitaro.
Because he changed his name at some point, too. Yes. Another. I don't think it ever translated so well to TV or video, but live, Kikitaro was hilarious.
Right.
So. But definitely good. If you watched him in the right mindset, Necro Butcher, hilarious comedy wrestler, just unintentional.
The Hurricane.
Yes, the Hurricane, another great one. He did pin the Rock once. So
he did. What's up with that?
That's also a fantastic one. Because of the music and the way he worked around it a little bit, there were times where Bobby Roode was a fantastic comedy wrestler. There's a lot that could be done. Finn Balor, if you see some of his stuff in other promotions, hilarious comedy wrestler as well, but not anything that a lot of people would think of. And then of course
go ahead.
I say Jay Lethal when he did Black Machismo. The interaction with him and Ric Flair when he did the Ric Flair impersonation, like that was damn near perfect too. So
One of the things I ran into was, is this a comedic gimmick or is it a bad gimmick, because the two can conflict. If a gimmick is so bad it's funny but not meant to be funny.
Well, is that the Hockey Talk Man?
Yeah, it's possible. Because like I mentioned before, I don't think he knew he was a comedy act.
No.
But Barry Darso, Mr. Hole in One.
I think he knew he was a comedy act. I think he knew he was a comedy act.
He knew what it was up. Repo Man.
Repo Man. I'm ashamed that he wasn't on my list. Because you know I love me some Repo Man. So that's like you leaving off Curry Man. Like Repo Man definitely should have been on the list.
I don't know why it didn't even cross my mind. Like why did he?
I wondered if it would. I was like, I'm going to save this in my back pocket. And if he doesn't say Curry Man, I am putting Curry Man on the list. Adam Pearce was actually a fantastic comedy wrestler. A lot of it you had to see live. I know he showed up in an ROH pre-show one time as Repo Man.
Edge and Christian?
Yes. Edge and Christian, fantastic comedy wrestlers. 100%.
Oh, the New Age Outlaws.
Yep. Honestly, going back to, I don't remember when they were the paparazzi, like Alex Shelley and Kevin Nash. Like, remember the three-sided ring that Alex Shelley was talking about? Like, yeah, they were fantastic.
And then Mick Foley.
Yes, I thought about putting Dude Love on the list.
Right.
And didn't quite make it. He was kind of there with Sami Zayn.
Even late stage when he was just Mick Foley. You know, when he was the Amalgamation.
Yeah, that's true. No, that's very, very true. There are also other ones I thought about when she was having her run in WWF at the time. Stacey Keibler was basically a comedy act for a lot of things that she did.
Oh,
but
shit. Why am I forgetting her name right now?
You talk about Zach
Chelsea Green.
Chelsea Green. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. One of the should be on this list. And
right. Like, I can't believe 100%. We left her off. Chelsea Green. 100%.
Mae Young and the Fabulous Moolah, there, especially Mae Young. Pat Patterson, like Jerry Briscoe. I mean, these are all people, well Mr. past Mac their prime Graham. When they were doing it. But so many great comedy wrestlers that we can talk about.
I almost want to take the Honky Tonk Man off and put Chelsea Green on instead.
You know what? Done.
I feel like that's the right thing to do.
The reaction to Chelsea Green losing the Women's United States Championship when it has given her so much material to work with, again, just shows that the fans know nothing. The fans know absolutely nothing. All right, we're going to go to commercial. We're going to come back and put this list in order.
8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
You just made the list.
All right, we are back. The Babyface Heel Podcast, Greg DeMarco, Patrick O'Dowd. We have made our list. We have put six, really seven, one's a tag team, but six entities on the list of comedy wrestlers. Now we got to put them in order. Patrick went first as we made the list, and now I will go first. And Patrick O'Dowd, I am stealing your entry and making number one on the list the person you put number one on the list, and that is going to be Santino Marella. Again, he would have been on the list for me. He would have been my first choice had you not made him your first choice. And for me, he is number one on our list.
Excellent, excellent. I will return the favor and steal one of yours by making the Bushwhackers number two.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Then I'm going to return the favor, Patrick O'Dowd. Because why not? I don't think we've ever had this happen, and it probably won't in the end. But because you made the last-minute substitution, I'm going to go Chelsea Green, number three on the list, because she is absolutely fantastic.
Okay, now it gets tough.
It does.
Because, for me, I'm going to put Curry Man here. Because
I think you should.
While I love and appreciate Andy Kaufman, I actually never, that was before my time.
Right.
As a wrestling fan. And I'm just not, I don't watch NXT. I don't watch as much TNA. So I just don't know Ariana Grace that well. So it's hard for me to put a judgment on that one.
Agreed. Agreed 100%. And that does allow us to actually have the first time ever
where we have picked all of each other's choices on the list, because I am going to put Andy Kaufman number 5 on the list. Your selection, meaning you have no choice
but to pick Ariana Grace
as number 6 on the list, meaning for the first time ever, I'm pretty sure, because it would have come up. For the first time ever, we have each ranked our other the other's choices on the list. So congratulations to all.
You just made the list.
Number 1, Santino Marella. Number 2, The Bushwhackers. Number 3, Chelsea Green. Number 4, Curry Man. Number 5, Andy Kaufman. And number 6, Ariana Grace. You have made the list of comedy wrestlers.
You just made the list.
And we didn't fucking put R-Truth on the list.
He was listed, but we also spent a significant period of this podcast talking about R-Truth.
I went into this assuming we put R-Truth on the list. And then as we got to talking about all these other ones, completely forgot. See how easy we forget about R-Truth?
I know, right? Your point has been made.
My point has been made, and I wasn't even trying.
Here's what's funny. We didn't even talk about him as an honorable mention, but I brought up Mr. Hole-in-One. Right? Barry Darsaw's golfer gimmick from WCW, where he missed putts and then hit people with the putter.
That's what we do on this program. All right, let's wrap things up.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
Patrick O'Dowd, we missed 3 straight weeks of the program for various reasons. 2 weeks of that were your fault, and because you were traveling about. You spent many a day in the great state of Florida. Great is a relative term, depending on if you care about politics or other things. But you had a monumental trip, kind of 2 vacations in one. So, you know, how was it? Fill us all in.
It was great. So, it was my first time. So for folks, you're going to hear about this on multiple podcasts because I know Dave's going to ask about it too. So yeah, I'm sorry if this is the second time you're hearing this or the third time or whatever. But no, we did a week and a half. We were only in Florida for like 3 days because we went down to Orlando for 3 days prior to hopping on a Disney cruise ship to do a week long Eastern Caribbean cruise visiting the U.S. and British Virgin Islands, as well as Disney's private island, Castaway Cay. It was a week-long excursion on the Disney Treasure. As my first ever cruise, the first thing I have said when many people have asked about it is I haven't drank that much since college.
Okay.
Because, and it wasn't even like I drank all that much. Like, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But, I mean, Mrs. O'Dowd signed me and her up for a couple of like alcohol tastings. She signed me up for a beer tasting and a reserved bourbon tasting where I got to drink really expensive whiskeys and get taught all about them. And that was fun.
That's cool.
It was a great experience. The only thing that was a bummer, and I say this, it was a selfish bummer because there was a medical emergency one of the days that we were sailing that required rerouting the ship to meet up the Coast Guard to like helicopter somebody off.
Wow.
And because of that incident, the itinerary for the last day of the cruise was supposed to be on Disney's private island. They didn't get to the private island till like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So you only got like 3 hours to kind of enjoy it. And so like all the extra stuff that people could do, excursions got canceled, and completely understand, right? 1000%. If I'm if I'm in danger of dying on a cruise ship, I want the captain to make the decision to get me to a hospital. 1000%. But the selfish tourist in me was like, oh man, this is kind of a bummer. Cause that was going to be our big beach day.
Yeah, right.
So, because all these excursions got canceled, because we couldn't do the thing, everybody on the ship, I think, did the only thing they could do on that island, and that was flood that beach.
Of course.
And that was, it was just, it was tough. So, but dude, they have a bar that is set up like the Haunted Mansion, the ride, and it's just loaded with special effects and Easter eggs. The drinks didn't even have to be that good. They weren't that good. They were really, really sweet alcohol drinks. That's just not my jam. Like, definitely drank way more beer in the Haunted Mansion parlor as opposed to any of their specialty drinks. They had a sports bar. I got to watch the NBA and NHL playoffs from the Periscope Pub, which is based on 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. I got to order a giant pretzel and have a big tankard of beer and watch sports. It was great. It was a lot of fun. And we're already looking at another cruise in the near future.
All right. Very cool.
So it really paid off.
Obviously. So let me ask you this. Because this hit me the other day. What days were you in Florida?
I was in Florida. Let me get the calendar back real quick. Why, were we in Florida at the same time?
I think we might have been, and that's what I want to see if you and I were. We're hours apart because of where I was, but still.
Right. We got to Florida on the 21st, when May 21st through the 24th. We were to Port Canaveral on the 24th.
So we were in Florida on the same day. So when did you do Disney, though?
The 22nd
and 23rd. Okay.
Were Disney days.
Because I was there the 18th through the 21st. So we technically were. What time did you land?
Late. Like, it was nighttime because our flight got delayed. So it was like 8:30 or something, 9 o'clock.
I left at like 5. No, my flight actually left Fort Lauderdale at 7. So we were still not in Florida at the same time.
Oh, so close.
We missed it by like an hour. You know what's funny
is the last couple of trips I've had, friends of mine, so a buddy of mine who lives here in Massachusetts that I hang out with a lot, is a guy named Ryan. He and his family did an Orlando Disney World trip where their arrival day was the day we were heading to Port Canaveral to take off.
Okay.
Our trip in February, my friend Matt, he and his family are going down to Orlando for a few days before we get there. And the day we arrive, they're hopping on a ship to go do the same cruise that we just did. Like, gotcha. The same itinerary that we just, it's like there's coincidences that just don't quite match up. It's fascinating how that works. Sometimes.
Yeah, it is. It is kind of crazy. I was there for a work conference.
Be in Florida. I knew you were there for something that you had mentioned it a couple of times. So
yeah, I had a work conference in Florida and, it was great. I had to pull a double where I went to Nebraska and then to Florida for work, which was nice because I only had to pay for one flight, my flight to Nebraska. The rest was covered by the company, which was great. But I was in Fort Lauderdale, far southern tip, and stayed at the Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville Resort, which, by the way, is fantastic. It's very Disneyland in the fact that they literally emit certain scents in certain places of the resort. So you're smelling certain, like, it's just amazing in that regard. Right on the beach, would literally in between work sessions would walk out to the beach and just to get outside and absorb that nice humid heat, and loved every second of it. Would love to go back there on vacation at some point with the wife. But yeah, highly recommended. Food, by the way, at that resort, fantastic. Like,
yeah. Did you get a cheeseburger in paradise?
I don't even know that was on the menu. It had to have been. A friend of mine got a cheeseburger. Guy I work with, huge wrestling fan too, by the way. Wants to try to come out for our event in November. But he got a cheeseburger. I wonder if it was called a cheeseburger in Paris. I don't know. I got the coconut shrimp. So good. Like just so amazing. Nice. A lot of the food was provided too as part of the conference. So there were different times where you had to get food, different times where you didn't. I didn't pay for a thing. That was the amazing part about it. Thank you to the work. They want to do this conference every year, but they want to move it around. And part of me is like, yeah, let's see where else. And part of me is like, no, let's just go back to the same place again. So, except for the one day lunch was like sandwich meat and cold cuts. But besides that, it was just like, but then the next day it was literally like prime rib and chicken and all this other stuff. So that's what they do. But yeah, I was wondering if maybe our paths technically overlap, but we missed it by about an hour and a half of being in Florida.
So close.
Same day and same time. And that, my friends, is going to do it for this week's edition, the return engagement of the Babyface Heel podcast. Start your counters. Let's see how long it lasts. But I've said it before, but I think it'll stick. It's never stuck because here we are. But we will find out. You can follow him on the Twitter at Wrestling Realist. It's WRESTLNGREALIST. There's no I in wrestling, but there is one at Realist. And there is one at Patrick for the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd. You can follow me at GregDeMarco44. Follow the website at ChairShot Media for all things ChairShot.com. Podcasts, articles, coverage, so much more is all for you to enjoy at TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot and so much more. We will see what the world of wrestling gives us to talk about next week. To further drive my point home, it's probably not going to be our truth, but whatever it is, we will talk about it. Until then, happy Pride Month to those who celebrate, and if you don't, I don't know what the hell is wrong with you. It won't turn you gay to support your gay friends, and it sure as hell won't hurt you to be an ally. So go out there, do the right thing. Until next week, we'll talk to you later.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.